Sometimes you might feel trapped between the right and the left. No one listens when you say taxation is theft.
But there's a place where people know harsh government brings tears. So grab some blue and adrenochrome. Let's make the timeline weird. Friends against government. Friends against government.
Basically ready already.
Your very
nice.
Best friend.
What do you? What is the? What does the do-rag do for you?
When I put my headphone thingy on.
Okay.
And I have it on for like 10, 20 minutes.
Yeah, you hair. Know what? You have a fantastic head of hair. Has anybody ever told you this?
Yeah, very nice.
There's
wow.
More traits than that. That's, it pushes my hair down into my face.
Yeah, like, yep. You
oh
don't
my
that.
God.
You don't want that.
So I do rag it up.
A fantastic head of hair. One thing that the agorist community has is handsome gentlemen with fantastic hair. So congratulations to you guys. That's pretty great. I don't know. What are we talking about? Because I started with Mr. Rogers. I was very quickly shut down about that. And
yeah,
now
well,
I'm a little
yeah,
bit...
well, you caught me way off guard. I thought I came in geared up for one thing, and then I don't know what the hell you were talking about.
I don't know. I saw the commercial. I got a little bit... I was disturbed by it. Okay. What are we here for, Car Campit?
So, we are here to discuss the... Pat, can you hear us? Are you on board?
Mm-hmm.
So, we're here to discuss the... I guess I don't know what it's being billed as in the media, but the UPS incident in Florida, where it appears that jewelry thieves took hostage a UPS driver and truck, and absconded with it and their wares, and were confronted by police, and it certainly seemed. I think this the episode was prompted because of maybe some online discussion on whether. Like what were the appropriate tactics? Were they used, and so on and so forth. And we decided who better to bring on than Pat. So Pat, thanks for joining us and giving us a little bit of insight on this.
You may be the fastest reoccurring Fagcast guest. I want you to know that
if he's going to come on with every questionable cop shooting, then
is that how we're branching out to a wider audience is by covering every cop shooting as a separate hour long podcast?
That's probably a recipe for a quick growth.
Because a recipe for a quick going to jail for tax evasion or something that we
rapidly gain some girth.
That would be really girthy. That would be girthy because how many people are shot by police every year? 2,000, something like that. If we did, and how many of those are questionable? About 1,998. I feel like we'd be doing a whole lot of podcasts.
That'd be a wild ride. So, okay, so Pat, do you want to? I know of the situation, but do you have a better idea of exactly what happened? Do you want to like start walking us through, or do you want me to lead it? Or
so if you are familiar with the entire case, start to finish, or at least what was released on the media, why don't we start with you doing a walkthrough? I had a couple bullet points that were probably unique that don't necessarily have to rely on. Too many details in the case, so just some food for thought that I was going to bring to the table. So let's have you start.
Okay, yeah. So let me preface this with the fact that I have not done a deep dive on this. I have collected bits and pieces of information along the way. I have no expertise in this regard, and so Pat, feel free to hop in or just let me ramble and correct me at the end. If I misspeak or say something that's not, I guess, accurate or properly worded. My leaning on this is, just looking at it, it looked like kind of crazy. But beyond that, I don't claim any expertise.
I was going to say, do you want me to just quickly run through the latest CNN article on the history behind it?
It's, perhaps that might be
I could probably jam through this pretty quickly.
Yeah, let's do that.
So this is from CNN. The title of the article is Police Release 911 Calls from Shootout with Men Who Stole UPS Truck, which is interesting, by Leah Asmalash and Tina Burnside. Thank you, ladies. Okay, here it goes. After a police chase in Florida ended in a shooting at a crowded intersection last week, leaving four people dead, authorities released audio of several 911 phone calls that depict the chaos and fear prevalent among the bystanders. Gonna skip a little bit. As gunfire erupted, the vehicle stopped at a traffic light, became shields for the police officers trying to stop two suspects who had taken over the UPS truck after robbing a jewelry store. How the robbery turned into a police chase. The shooting in Miramar began when two suspects robbed Regent Jewelers in Coral Gables, authorities said. At least one woman was hurt in the initial robbery. The chase ended at the intersection of Miramar Parkway and Flamingo Road just an hour over the initial robbery. This was crazy, by the way. When you saw the helicopter video of this? I mean, it was wild. They were all ducking behind moving vehicles and stuff. The UPS driver was Frank Ordonez, a 27-year-old man whose relatives say he had been substituting for a colleague who had been called out from work that day. The man driving home from work was the 70-year-old Richard Stephen Cutshaw. Do we have any information on who the shooter? Okay. The slain robbers and hijackers were Lamar Alexander, 41, and Ronnie Jerome Hill, 41, both of Miami-Dade County. Oh, I didn't realize this was a Florida guy story, too.
Yeah.
Holy shit. So there's your run through. Apparently phone calls were released about how that happened. They were going to rob the jewelry store. They stole the car in rush hour traffic for some reason. They stole the UPS truck from rush hour traffic. Yeah. And then they kind of got stopped. And my
understanding
and that was it.
Is... Go ahead.
That was it. That was it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So my understanding was they basically were getting away in this UPS truck and... More or less, you know, the chase was going as chases go, but then they hit a bunch of traffic. And at that time, they had a helicopter on them. They had police in pursuit. And the UPS truck just basically just came upon a bunch of traffic and had to slow down or stop. And at that point, you know, certainly the pictures looked like the cops more or less had him surrounded and began firing. I don't know who fired first. And the UPS truck, you know, afterwards there were certainly, it looked like a lot of rounds that entered the UPS truck. So, you know, it was a high stress situation, no doubt. It's a situation that I'm not trained for. I have no expertise in and would probably have handled it worse even myself than anybody, you know.
You don't just wildly shoot the side of a vehicle?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I have no idea if that's the appropriate way to go about that.
Do you think they were trying to get a gas tank explosion going or something?
Well, like I said, I mean, it's like coming from a place of ignorance, just off the cuff, it looked insane. But I don't know.
It looked like
Pat,
a movie.
So Pat, maybe you want to start with your background
that
and like what
me
qualifies
to my first
you
bullet
to,
point. Yeah.
What's
I
that?
Think you guys are gonna like this one. That brings me to my first bullet point here.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys are avid flyers of, you know, fixed or rotary wing.
Yeah. Well, I actually grew up, my dad's a flight instructor.
Okay.
I grew up in a small plane.
And I'm sure some people in the audience might not be.
I don't use
even
planes.
Even though I'm not familiar with how to fly helicopters, if I see one in a tree, I can see that's not right.
Right.
There's my certifications for that.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you see cops shoot a hostage, you don't need a lot of training to know that that's not how it's supposed to go.
That's kind of where I was beginning to base my decision on what happened.
It's almost like, I don't know, hostages have always been that unspoken thing. That people take the hostages and you go, okay, now we have to not shoot those hostages, so let's play ball with one another. And that was almost unspoken. And now it's like, hostages? Bang, bang, bang! Who cares? Who cares about the hostages? It's weird, like that shift. It stopped being about the individual person and it started being like, oh, well, you know, you took hostages, now we just got to kill everybody. So I don't know, you don't take more in the future? I don't know. It's crazy.
So maybe I'll start off with, we had a few listeners who, when we said that we were getting you on, we had a few listeners submit some questions. So maybe I'll start off with one. So the from the pictures, and I, coming from a place of not being qualified to speak on this, it looked like the cops were surrounding the vehicle and began firing, which to me, I mean, you know, I'm maybe not qualified, but I'm not an idiot. That seems very, very dangerous, not only just for the people there, but for the cops themselves. And so I guess, did it look like they cared about being sure of a hit or that they had a solid backstop was a question.
All right. What, in that situation, I don't think you can have a backstop.
Right.
So that's kind of a de facto answer there. No, you really can't have one. Let me give you a quick metaphor. So I was talking to Matt. You had him on the other day, too. I like that episode.
Yeah, he's amazing. So
him and I were talking, and I do quite a bit of staying in the middle and trying my best to find the truth. I'm not blindly pro-cop, even though I was a cop. And I'm definitely not blindly anti-cop. And the reason for that is because you wear a silly outfit doesn't mean that everything you do is wrong, and it doesn't mean that everything you do is right.
So right.
I had a cool analogy I was telling him, and this isn't mine either. I stole it from someone else. You have one group of people looking at a big wooden circle with a little black circle in the middle. You have another group of people looking at a big pink circle. My job is to kind of stand on the sidelines and go, hey, you fucking idiots, it's a pencil. You know, you're looking at two different ends.
Right, okay, yeah, sure.
So, while, yes, they didn't have a backstop there, you really can't have a backstop there. The flip side is, can you imagine what would have happened if they went, well, we're out, we got no backstop, bye. Good luck, hostage.
Right.
So, that's not really an option either.
Right.
And a lot of people don't look at both of these sides when they talk. It's usually with one foot, you know, both feet on either side of the argument. I also had a bullet point here for, I was told in school when I grew up that we were a classless society in the U.S., and that's wildly false. Can you imagine if a group of us, if we were like, hey, that guy just stole some shit, let's go get our guns and chase him.
Sure.
So already, which is that short statement, we know we have a class society. Some people can do some things, other people can't.
Right.
And when you do it, it's moral. When I do it, I get thrown into a cage. Okay. Mm-hmm. That being said, a lot of people looked at this and said, a lot of people on Liberty side, they said, this is a property crime and you could have just followed them. Well, once you take a hostage, it's not just a property crime.
Okay.
I haven't heard anyone say that yet. So that's a crime against a person. I grab you and I say, I'm using you as a human shield. I've committed a crime against an actual person. He's an actual victim.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there was a property crime, a crime against a person before that. So when people say the terms like robbery and burglary, they don't necessarily, there's a little weight to that that a lot of what you call laypersons don't understand. And every state has kind of slightly different definitions. I know in Florida, when you had a robbery, it was taking something from a person. When you had a burglary, it's not even necessarily breaking into a house and stealing. It's the Florida definition for burglary was something close to going into a space that you're not allowed to be in to commit another crime. So you can have someone committed, you know, someone that commits a burglary by kicking in your front door and punching you. Well, they haven't stolen your TV, but they're a burglar because they went into a space and committed a crime.
Right.
So legal definitions are a little funny too. It's a double-edged sword. They could have kept their distance. They could have secured that road. They could have blocked the traffic in and out. They could have kept that chopper hovering. When they ran out of fuel, it could have got another chopper. Those are all options. So it's also tough to say, I know the right answer and everyone else was wrong. Bottom line, you don't kill everybody and the bystanders.
Yeah, right.
That's so hard to get away from here. I mean, I'd be happy to pick into some of the minutia here and there, but that one, that's a sticking point. That would be a fail on a pass-fail test.
Okay. I think there were some questions about perhaps taking shots into the UPS truck more or less, I say blindly, but again, correct me where I'm wrong. I'm coming from a place of ignorance. So kind of unloading what appeared to be quite a few rounds just into the UPS truck without knowing who and what is behind, concealment is what you would say. Mm-hmm. And then perhaps with the added danger of those bullets going through the UPS truck and coming out on the other side and then hitting somebody on the other side.
Yeah, that's terrible. Here's something. I do a lot on tactics and tools and techniques. Here's something to consider. When you see these YouTube videos and you have person one runs into a place with a gun, person two is in the place and they go to grab their gun to defend themselves. And there's a lot of motion, a lot of movement. There's a really short amount of time. There's not a lot of cover. It's not like you're bunkered down in the trenches, like peeking over with your rifle. It's mm-hmm. like, oh shit, you throw your arm out in the general direction. You start lobbing rounds at somebody and you hope you live.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like maybe that end, I don't know the facts, and unfortunately we won't know until way after the case is heard.
Yeah.
But it seems like maybe that happened just because of the shot placement. So what should happen, where the police definitely had an advantage, was that truck was stopped because of traffic, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty clear.
Yep.
They had several officers holding several different angles.
Yep.
There's something in SWAT school they'll teach you. When you gain an angle on a hallway or a room, so you're peeking your rifle around and you're like, okay, I can see all the way down the hallway, you own that angle and you hold it.
Okay.
So let's say there's some sort of admin phase or you need to ask a question or you need to reload or something. They tell you not to give up that angle. So don't like peek back behind the corner, do mm-hmm, your thing, mm-hmm. and then pop back out because you have to re-clear that. So hold what you got. Hold that angle. With the amount of officers there from five jurisdictions and 200 rounds fired, whatever, there was a lot of ability to hold those angles. So if you get one dude holding on that one side door, he can do that all day. And then when the bad guy pops out, here's your shot.
Right.
You can have someone holding on the other door. You can hold that all day. You can have someone on the back of the truck. You can have someone way up front watching through the windshield, giving intel. There was a lot of ability to hold those angles. And when you're holding that angle, if you see a threat, you usually have the advantage because you're already set up and ready to go.
You're trained. You're right there. You're trained on it. Right.
So it appears that that might not have happened or it might have become more alive. And again, I don't know any of the details, but I do want to give people food for thought. I would have been that cop on scene that was way up front looking with my binoculars through the windshield on the radio, or I would have been way out back trying to do some sort of oversight. I've been in some weird situations like that before. I've definitely been in a friendly fire situation. So here's something else a lot of people don't know. The communication on scene, it's not like a sporting event where you're like, okay, ready, break, we're going to do this, you do that.
Right.
So when there were a bunch of cops on the left, a bunch of cops on the right, all using cover, all conflicting fields of fire, you sometimes, even on scene, even with radios and even with helicopters, you don't always have the ability to go, hold up, wait, what? This is bad, let's rearrange. So it's really, really tough to do that. I know from experience a number of times that came up. You get on scene and you get there, you go to try and help people, but let's talk about kind of helping people here. So I don't know all the details, but it appears some civilians were still in their cars. The cops were using as cover, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
That doesn't sound hard to believe. In a big situation like that, I want to talk about all the different avenues the way that could have happened.
Now, and on the video, the way that they were taking cover, they were not taking cover behind the passenger seat. I was watching that. They were staying towards the trunk of the car, behind the trunk of the car. So at least there isn't that.
I think it was a Biting the Bullet guys. I listened to their episode. They briefly talked about this and they said using civilians as a human shield, that's a war crime.
Mm-hmm.
It is in international law. Yeah. It is not in domestic law. I don't think I would be surprised.
Of course, the anti-cop social media pages are like, you used humans as a shield. Okay, great. And of course the pro-cop ones are like, we used cover, we used the engine blocks, we were there, we were armed, we were communicating, we're helping, right? So two people looking at different sides.
Right.
What I would be interested in knowing, which I don't think we're going to be able to know for a while, I would like to know, especially with body cams and helicopter footage and victim statements and witness statements, would be, did the cops go to the car and say, hey, there's a fucking shootout about to happen, we need you to get out of your car and leave?
Right.
If that happened, that's a big step in law enforcement's favor.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Here's something else a lot of people don't know. A lot of times you try and help people and they go, nah, I'm good, or I refuse.
Yeah, so, sure.
If I'm a cop and I'm worried about not getting shot myself, if I'm worried about a hostage over there who I'm trying to save their life, and I go, hey, we need you out of this car, let's go. And they go, fuck you, I'm staying. Okay, well, now what? Do you want me to not use your engine block as cover? Do you want me to stand in front of your car because you refuse to leave? That's not my fault. I'm trying.
Do you think that telling the people in the cars that something was about to happen would have put them in more danger? Because then you have people jumping out of their cars And obviously the robbers are not going to be shooting civilians on purpose, but that seems almost like, well, as a cop, I'll just do my best not to put you in the line of fire for where I know this is going to happen. I mean, what, you know what I mean?
Off the top of my head, I think you would want to make an effort to have them clear the area.
Yeah. Okay.
And that does happen every day on the street where there's a shootout and we go, hey, you over here, let's go out, out, out. And we usher people away all the time. Right. The former me, not current. Very happy being in the private sector.
yeah.
So that's something that I was really uniquely interested in hearing. Like I said, we won't know that for a while. Did the police attempt to get those people out of those vehicles before they used the vehicles as shields? I'd like to know that. I'd also like to know if they did or didn't. Were the people in the vehicles, you know, were they frozen in fear, or were they there with their cell phones out, or were they like, "Woo, party, we're staying"?
I do know that investigators put a bunch of like offers out for anybody who's got videos on it, because they are like, they're trying to put the situation together. I guess because the body cams haven't been released yet, I suppose. Because you know there's body cams on that, right? Every Miami-Dade officer wears body cams. Is that the case?
A lot of them probably do. I don't know the answer.
I feel like a big county like that, they might. I'll see. I'll check it out.
I worked for an agency of a medium-sized agency. We had about 500 sworn officers, and I know that my sheriff said, we refuse to get body cams unless someone comes in here, you know, demanding it of us.
Sure. Forced.
And that was as early as, let's see, when did I leave there? 2016-ish, 2015. We still weren't using them. There's agencies that don't.
Yeah.
So half of Miami PD officers wear body cams.
Yeah, I got to believe it's a safe bet that some were. Yeah. Honestly, yeah. Sure. I got to believe that's a safe bet. And I got to believe that there's probably a decent amount of cell phone camera.
And we don't know who fired first is the other thing. Do we know that? And do you think that's relevant?
I don't know. The police don't even know that yet. If you're sending stuff to the crime lab, there's rush orders you can do, but some of that stuff, like if you're cutting out slabs of that truck, if you're cutting out slabs of that truck and you're trying to locate rounds on a highway, there's a good bet that a lot of it has already been lost.
Yeah, right.
That's going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, imagine you're shooting off of a bridge or a highway where can be good luck finding that round somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it's probably already been lost, but some of the testing is going to take a while to figure out. That's a lot of math and a lot of red yarn you got to string up in that truck, I'm sure. Let's see, what else did I have here? Yeah, I would like to know which rounds were fired from which weapons and hit which people and which obstacles.
Yeah, right. Yep. Did any officers get shot? Do we know that?
I don't know.
Hmm.
Did any officers get shot? Is that what you said?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm fairly certain that they did not.
Okay, so the driver was killed, and then
the driver of the truck was killed.
A bystander was killed,
and a bystander was killed.
And then the two shooters were killed.
Yeah, and I don't even think that I don't think anyone else was even hit, but bystander or cop. But that's again, I mean, probably as Pat would say that. To TBD to some degree.
Yeah, that's true.
I've said that a few times. Let me add another piece of value here for the audience that isn't familiar. So a few times we said things like, won't know yet. So a lot of the anti-cop crowd, they say things like, well, the media released this report. The media said this. And then months and months and months later, we find out that was a lie. So that's their process. On law enforcement, the flip side is we're not allowed to talk about it. We're not allowed to release reports. We're not allowed to release evidence. So a lot of times, they'll be on scene or they'll know pretty much what happened and they'll want to correct it. But like if it were me, right. And if I were on that scene, I would want to get on the mainstream news and go, hey, that's not what happened. We didn't use those people as shields. We did this. We didn't do that. Like, it would be nice to do that. But A, I can't just call up the media and start talking about an open case.
Sure. Yeah.
A lot of people on the law enforcement side, they're frustrated as well because they want the story to be told. They want the truth to be told. And a lot of times that's defending themselves or outing a bad officer. And you don't have the mechanism for it. And even if you tried to make that happen, you get fired or arrested. So that's not great. So that's something a lot of people don't say.
So let me ask you this. Let's steel man a little bit. Let's say that the thieves the hostage takers did fire first somewhere. I'm sure it would make a difference at cops or at civilians or at their own hostage or whatever. Were the rounds dumped into that truck? I know I'm going to be poorly choosing words. Justified may not be the right word, but does that seem reasonable?
What was it, around 200 rounds? Is that one of the quotes I heard?
Yeah. And at those angles and so on.
Yeah. Well, I know there are cops on both sides of that truck or at least three sides of that truck. Reasonable is a tough word.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, I had a very close personal friend involved in a shooting inside a one bedroom house.
Mm-hmm.
And there were 111 rounds fired, and the offender was only shot, I think, once or twice, one or two rounds.
There were 18. Right. So things, there were 18 officers on the scene. 18.
Yeah, at least.
So 200. If you're saying between how many people in that house, they put out 100 and something rounds. Two people,
probably five or six guys.
Five or six guys. All right, so 18, and what was it? I don't know. So there you go. I actually seems kind of conservative if unless that house shooting that you say is like about standard of what that would be.
So here's two sides to that as well. Big surprise, right? One of that is cops and military people are notoriously bad shots. Notorious, just terrible. Just could not imagine, right? The other side is these events are very alive and there's a lot of motion.
Mm-hmm.
Even with both of those things being said, one of the first things you learn in law enforcement academy is, and they stress this over and over to terrify you to death, and they say, every single round that comes out of your weapon has your name attached to it. You're mm-hmm. accountable for every single round. And they'll tell you things like, get this hostage survival bullshit out of your head, right? You're not here to wildly take these shots and hope that you make it and hope that you miss, whatever. So they hammer that into you. They say every single round is accountable now. Well, it sounds good, right? But in John Q. Public, I think we know that's not the case.
How would that even be possible? Yeah, that's insane. That's crazy. Every round has a serial number on it, right?
No. Come on. That'd be amazing. That would be so tedious.
It really would be incredible, right? How the fuck is that possible? Like, that's ridiculous.
I guess that was coming, you know, again, just looking at it, like there look like some pretty wild shots on the side of that truck and a lot of shots on the side of that truck with, yeah, potentially civilians inside, and that's probably where
what is the idea here? Where, why are they? I frankly, I don't even understand it, Pat. Maybe you can put this together for me. I don't even understand why they have police chases anymore. It doesn't make sense. Why would you need to have that? We have drones, we have helicopters, we can find you. I mean, for fuck's sake, they could probably hack into the dude's phone with the way shit is. So what is the point of the police chase?
I'll tell you some interesting stories about police chases. The agency I worked for, as far as the Liberty scale, I was very happy with the police agency I worked for. Our supervision had the ability to, like, as a patrol officer, you can start chasing a vehicle.
Sure.
You can turn your lights and sirens on and go, all right, I'm chasing this guy. As soon as you did that, you had to get on the radio and say, I'm in pursuit. And your sergeant, your dispatch would go, okay, copy. And then your dispatch would go, hey, sergeant, unit one, did you copy that we have a unit in pursuit? And they go, oh, yeah, what's he on? And then either dispatch would say it or I would say it. I go, oh, I'm chasing this guy because I have this crime and this action. And he's this kind of car. Here's where we're heading. Here's our speed. And then dispatch or the sergeant would reply. And a sergeant would have to make the decision, either shut it down, turn your lights and sirens off and stop your car on the side of the road and do a U-turn. Like you completely cancel out the pursuit. He would do those things because agency-wide, our sergeants would make those decisions because we didn't want, whether it was a victim or a suspect or a witness or a bystander, we didn't want them to get killed over a property crime. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times we'd run a tag on a car. We'd go, oh, it's stolen. We'd start a traffic stop, you know, just put the sirens on and have them pull over. And they wouldn't pull over, and they'd gas it. And we'd go, okay, well, I'm in pursuit. We have a stolen vehicle. And our sergeant would go, do you have any other crimes? And we go, no. And they go, okay, shut it down. We go, okay, roger. My lights are off. My sirens are off. I'm making my next available U-turn. So a lot of people don't know that that happens. I don't love government. I don't love law enforcement in general, but that is a very good thing as far as the liberty scale is concerned.
Yeah.
So that does happen sometimes. And kind of like I said at the beginning, how could that have looked if you said, okay, we have a hostage. He's surrounded. He's got a gun. We've got guns. Oh God, this could be bad. All right. Well, let's just pack up. We'll let the helicopter follow him. Well, what happens when he shoots somebody else or he breaks into somebody's house?
But so, why is he, why would he, I mean, sure. I just shrug and I go, why would a robber shoot a random civilian? It doesn't make sense.
Well, why would he take a random person hostage? I don't know.
Well, I mean, as a bargaining chip, but why would you actually go and kill? I mean, the one thing that you got to know is you do not, right? Like you don't. That's your the body is the thing that keeps you from them just wildly firing at you is what you would suspect, right? Oh, so why would you give that up? And then why would you go and shoot a random civilian? You know what I mean? Like they didn't shoot anybody when they robbed the place.
I think there was a stray bullet and it like grazed somebody or something like that.
Right. As far as I understand, they didn't shoot anybody that they, while they were robbing, they didn't shoot anybody in the UPS truck. I don't know if it was one guy or two, especially considering that it's Christmas time. There might've even been two people in that UPS truck at one point, and one of them just got away. I don't even know, but they didn't shoot anybody at that. They didn't shoot until the shooting began. So I don't know. Why chase? I mean, why chase in a car or several cars when they clearly don't have any tactics ready to go? I mean, if you get somebody in a house or a building, as long as you can follow them to that point, and in 2019, I feel like you can probably have a safe bet you're going to be able to follow them pretty much anywhere. If you get them into a place, isn't that easier? Isn't that safer for everybody?
Well, I don't think that traffic was going anywhere. They already had him in a place, and they already had him stationary. And like I said in the beginning, it's hard to get away from. He was committing a crime against a person by holding a hostage.
Sure.
If you're being held hostage, you're definitely the victim of a.
Oh, well, I agree with you, but you could be way worse if you get turned into Swiss cheese, right? I mean, like.
Yeah.
I don't know. I agree with you, but it's a tough call. Like, I don't think this is one of those things that anybody should be like, oh, the police performed completely horribly here. I mean, like, this is one of those things, right? Once the chase started, if you don't call it off, I mean, you're just kind of near behind this UPS truck with guys that have guns in it who, when they see you, they're going to try and shoot you. So I don't know. It just seems weird to me. I guess and you answered it for me. Why even chase? Why even chase? Go and get in a helicopter. I get it. A person's life is online, 100%. But that seems to be the case no matter where the situation goes, unless they drop the people out, which they wouldn't do. So I don't know. I guess if I was being held hostage, I just don't want to get shot. Right. So the priority should be on the person who's being held hostage. Right. So do whatever you can to not initiate shooting. Right.
Yeah. Unfortunately, video after video after video tells us that that's not.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's not. Yeah. No, it's not. it's not. And it's weird that it's not, because all that it does is put more people at risk. You'd think a more measured approach on everybody's part would put less people's lives on the line in general.
Let me ask this, because I think this might get to the heart of what I'm interested in. You, Pat, are a security professional, very qualified, have a background in it. You assemble a team to protect people that contract with you, and this sort of thing happens. What do you think your approach is? And you have the equipment because you've built out the team and so on.
And you have the girth. Well,
I kind of already answered that in the beginning, but I'll take it again, and I'll try and rewrap it for you.
Okay.
A lot of cops are terrible shots and they're terrible tacticians. Even people that come from the military, you could drive a desk for 20 years in the military and people are like, oh yeah, here, you can take my gun, you're probably trained, right? Not the case. Step number one, if I'm going to be sending people out to get into gunfights, I just want to throw up thinking about the government standard curriculum for weapons training. Makes me want to throw up. I would have my people trained. The phrase is kind of like, act like you've been there before. Mm-hmm. The more calm you are, the better. It's kind of got to get to a point where you train so much that these engagements are boring.
Yeah, right.
And I don't know the details, but this, I want to make it clear, I'm guessing. But I'm guessing that of those five different agencies who had officers represented there, I'm guessing that some of them, or most of them, were doing the, oh God.
Yeah, just complete panic.
Yeah.
Now, it's unique because when you go to the academy and when you go to your agency training and, you know, when you're doing your, maybe one or two of those guys had some weapons training, it's unique that you do this training and you think to yourself, man, I might be the guy one day that's standing between.
I was going to say, this wasn't SWAT. This was regular officers, right? Yeah. So this even been the first gunfight some of them were ever in.
Most cops never ever shoot their weapon. Yes.
Right, yeah.
And I didn't either, but I know that in these scenarios, and I did the Somali piracy stuff, that was pretty wild, and I did the drug seizures. I don't ever remember doing the So mm-hmm. thank God I've had millions of dollars worth of training and experience.
Right. Millions.
I would select people.
Maybe that's why.
They can act like adults.
Yeah, right.
And I would select people that can communicate. And here's something else a lot of people don't know. These agencies probably weren't all on the same radio channel.
Right, right. Yeah.
You sometimes can't even talk to the helicopter that's right above you. So they could be saying, hey, person behind that red car, you guys are in bad crossfire. They could have. Maybe even they might have even tried to have said that, and nothing. There's also, of course, auditory exclusion. There's also radios that break or earpieces that fall out. When you're running and sprinting, believe me, you guys are going to be shocked to hear this, but when most cops start running, there's a joke in the law enforcement community like, well, the first thing that goes is your radio. It just flops out, falls on the ground, drags behind you. If the cops are doing the, I got to respond now, they go to their trunk, they grab their rifle, they're running around, they bump their belt, radio's gone. So that might have happened. That happens every day in law enforcement. But communication goes poorly really quick. If I could do this, I would want people to be smart tacticians. I would want people to know how to use cover, how to use concealment. I would want people to know how to communicate, how to flank, when not to shoot is so much more important than when to shoot. And that's not something that's talked about a lot.
So how does that kind of apply here or does it?
It's hard for me to mathematically, it's hard for me to say there were, I don't know what, 9, 10 or more cops on scene and one bad guy. It's hard for me to say that all 10 cops were being shot at the same time. Mm-hmm. So if you're not actively being shot at, and if you're behind pretty good cover, you don't necessarily have to rush to take any shots. Mm-hmm. And of course that's a very, it depends statement, but I would like to think that if I were on that scene, I may not have shot my gun at all. Period. Even if I were aimed in, I might have said to myself, well, there's all these other fucking cops here. Someone's doing some shooting back and forth. I don't even know who it is, but I don't see anything. Well, I'll just hold what I got.
Right.
This is going to be a great investigation. You know, can't wait. Hooray. But that there's also something called sympathetic fire. So if you're on the shooting range, this is common, where you take your gun and you're getting ready to shoot. And if you're not wildly experienced, a lot of times you start slowly putting pressure on that trigger. And then the person next to you fires their gun, bang, bang. And you shoot yours too. That's right. A sympathetic shot. That happens a lot in law enforcement as well. It's high energy. It's high stress. You're aimed in on a target. You hear a loud bang, boom. You pull the trigger too. So it'd be interesting. I don't know if you'll ever be able to prove that unless you have some really good video. That may have happened too. And once that starts happening, it's like a cancer. It just spreads rapidly.
Yeah, right. Everybody unloads.
So I'm guessing that a little bit of that may have taken place, at least. I don't know. It's a tough one. I want to be very careful not to to do too many hard assumptions.
Right.
But I can tell you that cops are terrible shots, isn't it? I probably wouldn't have shot my gun if I were there.
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple that, I mean, I'm not a great shot, and I'm not trained in that. But you know, I am trained in other things, and like if I saw something in civil engineering like that was very errant, I would be like, well, what the fuck is going on here? And like, you're liable for it if you have expertise in there, or you know, people are trusting you to have expertise there. And there were a couple shots where I was like, oh Jesus Christ! Like, there's one at the top of the roof, yeah. And the like that just seems very reckless.
And not to be apologetic, I can give a shit less about cops and their jobs. As people, I care about them, but not as an employee.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to two different, very expensive, very effective training courses that involved shooting into, out of, and through vehicles. Show of hands for all the people that work for Miami-Dade and those jurisdictions that were involved. How many of them do you think have ever shot into, out of, or through a vehicle? Okay, percentage-wise, like less than 1%?
Right, yeah.
Which is wild because you're in your vehicle every fucking day. So maybe that's important. So vehicles don't do what you think they do for gunfights. I've shot through a windshield from inside to out and from outside to in, and bullets do some interesting things that you have to be prepared for. Otherwise, you won't be as effective as you think.
Mm-hmm.
And shooting through the side of a vehicle, I mean, you can search the internet for 5 minutes and you'll find experts, air quotes, experts on this. But if you go to a range and you have a car that's a beater, like an old minivan, and you start putting a couple bullets in a couple places in a couple directions, and you start tracking them one by one and say, okay, what did this bullet do? Well, it went through the front headlight and came out the rear taillight. Well, that's odd. Yeah. I never expected that. It's a really fat bullet, or it's a slow bullet, or it's a fast bullet. I expected it to turn. I expected this. Sometimes you'll shoot through a seat cushion, and you shoot 100 rounds, and 50 of them get caught in the seat. And you're like, what's... It's a cushion. That's odd. And so some weird things happen. Vehicles are terrible cover. Yeah, an engine block will stop some stuff. But not in the way that you might think. So mm-hmm. they're really poor cover. And just like I teach the lockpicking stuff, handcuffs, the design hasn't changed in 100 years. The key hasn't changed in 100 years. Cops don't get taught. They don't get taught the limitation of their gear.
Mm-hmm.
They should be taught about vehicles as well, which is their terrible cover. One of those shooting courses I went to, probably actually both of them, this happened. It's very common. You'll get a cop. So a lot of people don't know this either. On your rifle, above your rifle is your scope or your sights.
Mm-hmm.
And below that is the barrel where the bullet comes out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like a video game where you have the reticle and the bullet goes like a laser out through the sight.
Yeah.
So that's what's called like a holdover. So if you press your gun up to a wall, and you're looking through the sights and you mark like with a Sharpie marker on the wall where that sight is. And then you mark with a Sharpie marker where that barrel is below it. You'll see that there's two different dots.
Yeah.
When you're using vehicles as cover, a lot of cops will put their weapon like on the edge of the vehicle. So mm-hmm. that just their sights are peeking up. Do you know where I'm going with this?
Yep. I can think.
Say I'm behind cover. I'm barely exposed. I just got my sights peeking over.
Yep.
And then they start shooting. And they go, man, those rounds aren't hitting the target. What the hell? And they keep shooting. And they go, huh? And then the instructor walks over. And they go, hey, dickhead, stop shooting my car.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, gosh, I'm so sorry. I just shot 13 rounds into your patrol vehicle that I'm using as cover. I had no idea. So I almost, like, that's probably the thing I want to know. Like, my guilty pleasure, that's probably the answer that I want the most on this shootout was how many cops shot their own cars. It's wildly common. You get so pumped and you're like, I don't want to expose my whole head, so I'll just stay as low as I can.
Yeah.
As soon as my sights pop over the trunk, I'll pull the trigger and
right.
the barrel is below the trunk. So that happens too. It's just a wild world, man. And like we talked about on our last episode, there are people that can be absolutely the cutting edge of their craft that could be out saving lives, but the government will literally murder us if we do that. So mm-hmm. it's strange. They would rather have their thugs do it.
Well, shit. I mean, I think we kind of rounded the bases here.
Jesus.
Yeah, sorry. Bert.
Jesus. Oh, God. Shooting is crazy. Shooting people is nuts. I don't know. I look at all this shit, and yeah, I don't know. I go, well, can the more leveled heads prevail? And I guess they can't. And that's why we fight wars, and that's why we do all kinds of stupid shit. So that's my last take. car, what do you got?
I don't know. I don't have, you know, this was kind of, I just wanted to get Pat on and see where it went. And, appreciate you coming on, Pat. It's you know, I don't know what to say. You just look at something like this. And
it's so stupid. It's just so stupid in so many ways.
It's like, I understand, you know, I understand the both being level-headed and being like, well, we're in this situation. But for me personally, anytime I see, like, I guess it's hard for me to, because of the rampant inabilities in government agencies, whether it be agencies that I worked that I work with in civil engineering or security or anything, it's always difficult for me to advocate for more government action because it almost ends up as just being far more destructive anyway. So it's like, you know, kind of like what you were saying with the lack of training and stuff like that. Approaching it for me, I'm like, I it sounds insane, but I'm almost like with Bird, where it's like, I don't know, let the guy run, exhaust himself, and just.
I just don't understand how. First of all, I thought that the government had the ability to just shut your car down. So where the hell, where's that happening?
Yeah,
and second of all, I don't understand. And Pat, I guess maybe I could press you more on it, but like, I guess ultimately it didn't happen, so it doesn't matter. Even if there was a traffic jam. Mm-hmm. They weren't going anywhere. Like, mm-hmm. Where were they going? Where were they going to go? They're going to sit there and do nothing, or they were going to go into a building. And yeah, then another person gets involved, and that's no good. But like, we already had a dead bystander, two dead bystanders, really. I don't know why they keep referring to them as the UPS driver and a bystander. They're both bystanders, but regardless.
Former bystander, the artist formerly known as a bystander.
Yeah, they were both bystanders. Two bystanders got killed. If they were to have gone into a house, and there was a housewife at home, at most, that's one extra bystander killed, not instead of two. But, I mean, just as a value proposition. But also, when they're in the house, it's a siege. It's way easier. This is why most battles in history were sieges. Because it's easy for you to just kind of circle around, let's wait 3 months and let the city starve itself out and they'll just give up. You don't need to do that with a single shooter. They won't be in there for more than 2 days. I've seen, what is the name of the Al Pacino movie? Dog Day Afternoon. I've seen Dog Day Afternoon. This shit doesn't last.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the proper solution is. I think that's what we all have said.
Surely the proper solution is not to go and unload on a street. Surely that's not the proper solution. Is to unload in the vehicle on the street while there are other cars. Sure, that can't be the right solution. It just can't be. So anything else would have made more sense.
In a market scenario.
In any scenario. Yeah. In any other scenario than what the hell is happening right there and then. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I guess you start off. I think I texted you this. I think you kind of start off saying, well, it did go wrong. So what could we have done better? Right. Like, because it basically, I mean, granted, I guess more civilians could have died in the crossfire. I mean, that's how it could have gone more wrong. But you kind of start with, well, the hostage did die. So.
Right. You know. We're already at two, is what all I'm saying. Already two innocent civilians died. So how like, clearly that's not a great, it could have easily been three or four. Like, but it wasn't, thank God. But still, it's like, it just doesn't make sense. It's like a comedy of errors. And Pat, what you bring up is right, is there's just, even in my own job, which is not law enforcement, even a little bit, we have walkies. And sometimes we're not on the same channel with one another. Mm-hmm. And different floors have no idea what's going on other floors. And this is not where someone's going to die if they do something wrong. So that even that is insane to me, that they're still using, like, mm-hmm. old radio technology. I don't know, guys. One thing that was funny, Pat, was you were talking about holding the corner. What was it? You owning the corner.
Hold what you got.
holding what you got. You were saying that, and I cringed, and I was like, oh God, Pat, it almost sounds like you want to, like you're saying the police should be more militarized, but they should just be smarter. They could totally be smarter.
It's silly. It's silly to get all set up and then go, oh, well, you know what? I'm going to go somewhere else. Let me take a little.
Yeah, it was like you were advocating for them to be like better. But it's like, they should be, because that stops people getting shot. But I heard that and I was like, oh God, he's right. They do have to train smarter and better. They can't just be useless and stupid because they still have a gun.
And the scary part for me is that what so many millions of people don't understand, which is there's no choice. You have no choice. You can't select a better security force.
Yeah,
you
right.
You can't design a better security force.
And the guys in the system who probably want to be better, like, are they even allowed to be? Like, no. You know what I mean?
I'm glad you said that. I wanted to tell you this, too. So what's going to happen after this shooting, right? Maybe not all the agencies that were involved in the shooting, but at least, like, Miami-Dade or at least one of the big ones, they're going to send out an agency-wide email, and it's going to say, oh, no, there was a shooting. It didn't go so great. And they're going to say, we really should be prepared for these things. Right. And then the people at the top of the chain of command who don't do this job every day, who are, you know, drive desks, they're going to go, well, how do we put together good training? And they won't ask people like me. Yep. They won't ask their good shooters at work for them. They'll go, huh, we should contract this out. And then they'll contract it out. Or they'll contract it in-house, and they'll go to the training staff, who's a bunch of overweight guys wearing super cool red T-shirts that sit in an office all day. And they'll say, hey, we need to train our guys to be prepared for this. What do we do? And they'll go, how much time and money do I have? And they'll go, ooh. And then they'll go, okay. Well, how about, like, shoestring budget? How can we get our guys better? And the training staff will go, I can put everybody through a one-day annual course for 8 hours. And they'll go, okay, what can you do for that? And they'll go, oh, you know, four of it will be safety and PowerPoint. Okay, then what? Well, then we'll do some boring shooting at the range. Okay, great, let's do that. So that's how you fix the problem.
Right. Well, and I think a lot of the solution is just people being better armed. I mean, if the guy that got taken hostage were armed, perhaps it would have ended differently. Perhaps it would have ended worse. There's no way of knowing, I guess. I mean, it's a dynamic scenario, but, always having... just to bring it back to maybe a metaphor that's more relatable to me. There's always ongoing fights between surfers and swimmers and stuff like that at beaches. Not like in the water, but like legislatively.
Hey, bro, what they always come back to
is like, okay, do you want to have lifeguards all the way up and down the fucking beach to save the swimmers that we're all saving the entire time? Like, there's always people like getting swept out that surfers are bringing back in. It's like, you know, probably a part of the solution is just everybody being a little bit more aware and armed and ready, rather than having just a few quote unquote trained people around. But that's just my stupid analogy, so
I get it. I'm tracking.
Yeah. But yeah, it seems like it was a wild scenario that was dynamic, and it's happening in the moment, and it's a bunch of people that are frankly, I mean, obviously at this point, very, very unprepared for that situation. And that's scary. Like, that's scary for everybody involved. And, probably it may have been the least scary for the people in the fucking truck, because they didn't realize how poorly trained.
I know, right? You got to be like, oh my God.
They're like, oh, the police are here.
Yeah, I was going to say, you see, like, how many cops are in a single squad car, like one or two? So you see like 10 squad, you're like being kidnapped by these jewelry robbers and they have guns to your head and you're like, oh fuck. And then like behind you, you see there's like 10 to 12 squad cars approaching and you're like, oh my God, the cavalry. And you just duck under. Oh Jesus. You see one guy's
probably, yeah, the guys in the truck were probably cool as a cucumber.
They you could peer out just for a minute. You see some cop going into the back of his vehicle. He's pulling out what looks like a rocket propelled grenade launcher.
So I told you guys I probably would have been on that scene and doing some sort of overwatch, like way in front or way behind the truck.
Yeah, go into that.
That's probably because of what you just said, because I know instinctively I probably would have been telling myself, Oh shit! I would have looked at the left and saw these cops, and looked at the right and saw those cops, and I would have went, "Nope, have fun." Slowly backed up.
They made it. They basically turned that thing into like an Iron Maiden. It's really crazy. That would be too. Like you don't think like there was not even. That's how you know it was chaotic, because cops never want to shoot other cops. At the very least, they don't want to shoot other cops, and like they were on 180 degrees. Like they were facing one another on either side of that vehicle, shooting.
I don't know how more people didn't get hit.
I don't either. It's a miracle that I guess. Well, like Pat was saying, maybe to go for a bullet to go through two. Parts of two walls of the car, maybe it pinged off or that went away, like, you know, they were sufficiently reduced, people were behind enough cover. But it's true, I don't know how this wasn't a massacre. I don't understand how sometimes when you see shit like this, we didn't see like, oh, the robber was killed a long time ago and the cops are now just shooting one another. Like, mm-hmm. I can't believe that didn't happen.
It might have, but they might have killed somebody, and you might have seen someone moving in the truck, and you might have heard gunfire, and you might have thought, oh, he must be shooting at me. He's coming to the door to shoot at me.
Yeah.
Who knows, man? What a mess.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. There's your, this seems like a theme car that we do podcasts like this now. I don't really know what this theme is, but it's...
Roots. We had Pat on once, then we got status quo, and now Pat on, and now
Matt,
they're just dragging us down into the sadness.
Pat and Matt, and then Pat again, and then did we not have somebody else who came on recently and it was the same theme as this? We got to get Greg on now. We just got to get we have to get a bunch of serious dudes. That's what we need to.
What'd you say, Pat?
I said, Bird, weren't you going on Biting the Bullet sometime soon?
These fucking guys. Let me tell you something about that, by the way. These fucking guys. Jared, of course, right? He hears the episode, and he's like, oh, man, I can't believe you want to come on the show. I can't believe that. And he's like, we'll get you on as soon as possible, buddy. And I'm sitting here like, all right, Jared, I guess I'll wait for the text message then. And the text message still has not shown up, Jared. Still hasn't shown up. I don't understand. Am I scary? Do I scare people? Am I repugnant? Am I an ugly person? What is going on? Why can I not be on this show, Jared? I think it's Luke or Typo, one of the two of them. They know that I'm better podcasters than them, and they know that I could come on at any minute
fired.
And take
by shots,
take
fired.
take over their show. I think Jared already knows that. That's why he hasn't responded again. And frankly, go. This is what I say: people who haven't listened to the Biting the Bullet podcast, go over there. Listen to the most recent whole episode. Give them a good review, because you know you want to be. Sun Tzu's The Art of War, what does it say? You got to treat prisoners well, because when you release them and they go back home, they're going to start fucking having rebellions if you didn't treat them nicely. So I'm going to treat the peons and the peasants nicely here. Go over there, listen to their show, give them a good review, but fucking email these guys or something and tell them we want Bird Archist on the show. We want him on, and we don't really know why, but we do want him on the show. That's all I have to say on that matter, Pathew. Thank you for asking.
You're going to be on my show,
Bird? Yeah, sure. I'd love to be on your show. I've got notes here for an episode that I've got to do on a. I don't even know. Pat, what do you consider your podcast to be, like, genre?
My genre?
Yeah.
Romance?
I wish. Yeah.
Is it like
security themed podcast? Is it in the genre of romance?
Security and romance.
Is it military educational? Yeah. Like, what is that genre?
It's a self development in this tactical world. I don't know. We talk tools, training, and tactics.
Okay,
people.
So yeah, that's like a military tactical podcast, maybe something like that. Like in,
no,
no,
apply to military, but. Humans.
Okay.
Right?
A humans. All right. I just associate the military with violence. I'm sorry. Like a.
How dare you?
Like anyway. Yeah. A stealth and tactics. I don't know. Fine. Whatever that is.
Yeah. Stealthy.
Biting the Bullets is that, but comedy. So I don't know why I can't fit on there. I have notes here that could fit into a podcast like that. I totally could do this. I could do this on ancient warfare. I could do it on all kinds of, I could do warfare. I just can't fight. So if anybody needs a warfare expert, I could become one very easily. And until these biting the bullet guys get me on the show, yeah, I'm taking whatever. Absolutely, Pat. Absolutely. I'm not as agoristic or in tune as you are, but I can definitely try my best.
I'm doing my new series on people that have never owned a gun, so how to get them into gun ownership. So breaking down complex ideas into real simple stuff.
Good plug, by the way. Good plug, by the way. I really liked it. Yeah, I really like that format, by the way. And yeah, sure, I'd like to everyman it. I could definitely do that. Sure.
So guns and romance, we'll write you down for a quick slot.
100%, 100%. Biting the bullet, guys.
See how easy that was?
Get me, please have me on your show. I don't know really what to say. Card, what is your opinion on the biting the bullet people?
Yeah, I mean, they've had me on, so.
Yeah, they certainly have had you on, huh? They certainly have. And what did you talk about on their if you can call it a show? What did we talk about there?
We covered some Bitcoin over there.
And who gives a shit about that?
Apparently you now, Bird.
Yeah, apparently I do, right? With the so, by the way, everybody, Rollo McFlugel and I have been stirring some stuff up, so be aware for some Bitcoin podcasts in the near future. I'm all in on Bitcoin again. I'm all in on Bitcoin again. Pat, thank you so much for coming on the show. All any and all plugs, go ahead and give them.
All right, let's do that. So the website is uncensoredtactical.com. It's pretty easy to find. And on Instagram and on Twitter, same handle, Uncensored Tactical. And if you guys want some training from someone that's not a, hopefully not a complete idiot. Oh, look, there we go. Pop that open. If you want some training, I'm doing my next lockpick. And so it's Entries and Escapes course. It's tactical lockpicking. I have a book coming out specifically on that subject. Should be out in about 6 months. I got to do some editing today. The next course is going to be March 21st and 22nd, I think. It's on the courses tab on our website. I'm going to try and get the shopping cart open so that you can reserve your seat. I think it's going to be a small class, like maybe 4 or 6 people. So if you're interested or know somebody that is, send them my direction, please. That's it. That's all I got.
Cool.
Well, I'll put in a
Car, do you have any plugs?
I'll put in a second plug for Pat, even though I have owned a gun, the Never Owned a Gun series is really cool. I think that there's a lot of people like here's the thing that you do that is very, very uncommon in niche, hyper interested communities. And I'll say the same for Bitcoin and for guns and
whatever
stuff like that.
Hell Bird is into.
What's that?
So whatever the hell and whatever the hell I'm into.
Yeah. Your niche, whatever the hell you're talking about.
Yeah, right.
Mr. Rogers bullshit, the documentary land or whatever. Is that a lot of the times it's very difficult to just get a start because everybody is so insanely autistic and aggressive in their messaging, whereas you are very, very level-headed, very intro oriented, and it's very pleasant to listen to with not a lot of like you don't know this, you idiot overtones, and it's awesome. I love it.
Well, I saw so that's how I teach too. I just taught my last course in Indiana last week, and it made me so happy that I was giving them the kind of admin block, and I was like, well, here's what I expect from you, here's what you can expect from me. And I was like, how many people are familiar with this? Raise your hand. And I was like, all right, who here thinks thing A is better than thing B? Oh, you? Oh, you're an idiot. And everyone kind of chuckled, and they were like real nervous, and I'm like, okay, here's the deal. I will never do that to you.
Yeah.
I was like, that moment, just telling people, we don't do things that way. It was really enjoyable for me.
Oh, dude, I bet everybody either visibly or just inaudibly inside breathes a huge sigh of relief, because anytime you get near, and I mean, I'm like in the Bitcoin community and I get like fucking flustered in there because people are just so aggressive that, you know, I just don't like walking on eggshells, and it, and you just feel like you always are. And same with the gun community, even though I'm not as involved in that, I'm somewhat involved. But you're just like, dude, chill the fuck out, man. Like, we're here for 70 years and then we die. Who, like, what the hell is the point of getting so fucking insane?
I was going to say that. That's
especially
why
if you're not like I'm, you know, if you're a highly trained security professional and you're training other highly trained security professionals, sure. But, you know, it's like, fuck, man. Some people just need an intro.
That's the next show.
I was going to say, that's why doing the thing, the Bitcoin thing with Rollo has been so good, because Rollo's not going to like think that I'm trying to make him look stupid. So right, like, you know what I mean? Like I asked Rollo questions that if they were asked to a random Bitcoiner over the internet, they would have thought I was trying to start something, because there were several times when I would ask him, there were several times when I would ask him a question and he would laugh and go, oh boy, because he knows I have no idea, but like a lot of people clearly get upset about certain questions. So yeah, learning that about guns from Pat probably would be a really good way to learn about guns, because it washes away the, I don't know what you call it, but yeah, the aggressive autism. Mm-hmm.
Yes, weaponized autism.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Pat, I know that you've got a break for work here and not too long, so we don't want to keep you for too long, but I appreciate, you know, it's always a blast having you on, so appreciate you coming on, talking about this. So it seems like it's, we'll know some more details about this as it unfolds, but for now, just wanted to get initial thoughts. Bird, do we have anything? I don't know when we're going to release this, probably, I guess.
I don't know, probably... Yeah, probably on it.
Well, I tell you what we'll do. We'll release it whenever all the facts come out, and so Pat's still making assumptions.
Maybe we should maybe we should just release this early. Oh boy, yeah, you're right. I'll release this
a year
early.
And a half from now.
Oh god.
No, go for it, man. I was careful to cover my tracks.
Yeah, you're very careful. You're very careful. Okay. So okay. Well, I guess until next time, keep your hand on the wheel.
We'll do the moon landings.
There you go.
Okay.
I love it. I love it.